Okay, so this week is Parshas Vayishlach, and Yaakov sends Malochim, messengers, to his brother Esav, to the land of Seir, to the field of Edom, and he commands him, saying, "This is what you should tell my brother, my master." And he says, "I've been with Lavan till now, and I have an ox, an ass, sheep, slaves, maidservants. And I'm sending to tell my master in order to find favor in his eyes." So Rashi says, Vayishlach Malochim doesn't just mean messengers, it means Malochim, means angels. Angels mamish. How did Rashi know? So there are different pshotim. Most commentators agree from the word Vayishlach Yaakov Malochim Lefonov El Esav. It says Yaakov sent messengers or angels Lefonov in front of him or to his face. El Esav Ochiv. He could have just said, Vayishlach Yaakov Malochim El Esav Ochiv. Yaakov sent messengers to his brother Esav. Why does it say Lefonov? And Lefonov we translate forward. But the word is there, however you translate it, the word is miyutar, the word is unnecessary. And the commentator somehow use that word and explain that this is how Rashi knows that they're angels. And the Dega Machne Ephraim, the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov, says that Lefonov, meaning in Yaakov's face, which is to say Yaakov sees who they really are. To Yaakov, they're angels. To Lavan, they're not going to be angels. They're just going to be people. Because you see the world through your own eyes. We have a saying in Yiddish, Aganef meint als jenes Aganef. Right? Aganef always suspects other people of being thieves. Right? Somebody who's really innocent tends to treat people as innocent. Don't suspect everybody of trying to cheat and get over. I mean, some people you meet, whether you go into a store and like, they always look like, they look at you like you're trying to shoplift, you know. Go sometimes into a store and it's the person behind the counter is like following you on with his eyes or physically following so you don't pick up something, put it in your pocket. It's always clear to me that when I look at such a person that there's something a little lost in us in that person's heart. Otherwise, why does he suspect me of being a Ganef? So Yaakov sees the angel in this person. Then the Rebbe Ephraim, the Dego Machne Ephraim, he makes a connection between what happened at the end of last week's parsha. The end of last week's parsha, we told Yaakov comes from Mesopotamia, from Aram Naharaim, and he comes towards the Holy Land, and these angels come towards him. And so then he has two Malach Elikim, he has these two camps of angels, those who are accompanying him from Mesopotamia, those that are coming towards him from the Holy Land, and he sees these two camps, and he calls it Machanaim, two camps. It says, Vayifku boy, Malach Elikim, and and these angels encountered him. It could have used another word rather than boy in him. It could have said oisoi or vayifku, vayifka malachli, or he just encountered angels. It says the word him. Rabbi Ephraim says that the word him is very significant. That the word him is written with a base and a vav. So Yaakov, when he reaches the level of the base and the vav, that is when the spiritual world starts to open for him. And what is the world of the base and the vav? The base are his two role models after which he was trying to understand how the world and how he should be. On the one hand, there's Avraham, who is the Merkava for the Midah of Chesed. Avraham embodies loving kindness, which is unrestricted giving. And on the other hand, there's his father Yitzchak, who represents unconstrained restraint, din, withholding, gevura, judgment, the law, the letter of the law. When Yaakov had learned to synthesize these two midos, the base, the number two of Avraham and Yitzhak, then he became the vav. He became the six sephirois of the connection between heaven and earth. So when Yaakov synthesized the base and becomes the vav, so that's vayivku boy. And something unlocks inside Yaakov, and then it's Malach Elikim, whoever he's dealing with, he's now in the angelic world. So I was wondering, you know, so often when we talk about, when as Hasidim or as Orthodox Jews, we talk about our ancestors, when we're talking about biblical figures, we tend to want to deify them or reify them. They're no longer, we don't criticize them, and whatever actions the Torah tells us they've taken, we translate it in such a way that it's a mitzvah and it's a perfection, and the general... I didn't invent this way. My father didn't invent this way. It's already in the Gemara, the idea that our ancestors had an element of perfection, and then whenever we read something and it seems like they sinned, it's not really a sin. We're making a mistake, and so on. And that process has gone on now for so many thousands of years that it's hard for us to look at them and examine them in the text and find those bits of them that we can still relate to. I mean, if they were perfect, so like, then what does he have to teach me? Ma'aseh ovos simen lebonim. We say that the way our ancestors acted, that's a simen, that's something to follow, you know, but you can't follow perfection. And, you know, when their actions are so altruistic and so devoid of selfishness and so on, it's hard to relate. And what does it come to teach us after a time? They're so perfect, so what are they teaching? So, one of the beauties of learning the Meir Shiloach for all these years that we've been doing together, you know, is the Ishbitza helps bring things down into a language that is common to all of us. And one of the things that we learned in Ishbitz is that Yaakov really took to heart Umoisa ha'odam in a behema oyin. that man is no better than an animal. You know, if we look at that verse, you know, from a Aristotelian or Greek philosophical kind of thing, it has a completely different meaning. Well, man's just an animal, right? Aristotle said, Anthropos politikon zoon. What is a man? A man is a political animal. That's really the difference. That's not what we mean. Moisa ho'odam in abehema oyin. That Yaakov never felt that he personally had any superiority. He never felt that he had any innate reason to feel better than. And I've often wondered where the Ishbitzer took this teaching, and it should have occurred to me at the time that it would have come from his Rebbe, the Rebbe Rebunim. The Rebbe Rebunim this week says, Vayevose Yaakov Levadoi. You know, one of the famous songs by Shloime is, Venizgov Hashem Levadoi. Venizgov Hashem Levadoi. I asked Shloime, in my ignorance, I asked him, well, how did you put these two verses together? It says, Venizgov Hashem Levadoi, and God is exalted alone by Yoy Mahu on that day. Then Vayivose Yaakov Levado, and Yaakov remained alone. Vayeovik ish imoyadalo sashacha, and this man was fighting with him until the morning. So he said, it's a medrash, it's an open medrash. I felt embarrassed, I hadn't checked the medrash first. So the medrash makes a connection between Veniskov Hashem Levado Bayoy Mahu. On that day, God is exalted alone. And then we have a pasuk, Vayivoser Yaakov Levadoi. Yaakov is left alone. Vayeovik ish imoy, and a man fights with him, Adaloisa Shacha, has a dust up with him, Vayeovik. And when you think about it, it's scary, right? And the Medrash is saying that Yaakov has a kind of aloneness that God has. And you know, historically, we see it's true, right? Yeah, it's not always in such an exalted place, but we often find ourselves without any friends, right? Vayivose Yaakov Levadoi, it's the loneliest posuk in the whole Torah, right? Yaakov is alone. So the Rebbe Rebunim says, Vayivose Yaakov Levadoi, is Yaakov reached that level of seeing himself as Shirayim. Shirayim. Leftovers. You know, you go to Rebbe, Chassidim go to Rebbe, the Rebbe eats, and then when the Rebbe's finished eating, whatever is left, everybody eats from it. Because the Rebbe has been mala all the nitzotzos. Everybody who was involved in the making of this food, from the farmer who planted the seed, and the workers who made the harvest and made the flour, to the people working in the kitchen who made the noodles, who made the kugel. Everybody has something that needs fixing, right? There was a famous machloikus, there was the big argument between the Rebbes. It wasn't an argument that was spoken out loud, but what should the kigel be made from, right? Should it be made from lokshen, or should it be made from noodles? Should it be made from potatoes? And some rebbes, they wouldn't eat anything, have anything to do with potatoes. Kusha l'shikra, they said it was really bad. Spiritually, the potato is a bad thing. And I've often thought what the machlokes was, and it seems to me the meaning was that the potato came from the New World. The potato came from here, from America. And, you know, there was the kugel that they were eating. They were fixing the chet of the Eitz Hadas. The Gemara says chito hoiso, wheat, because wheat is really the backbone upon which the human mind, the modern human mind, is built. Civilization is built on grain. That's what allowed the cities to grow. It was the cultivation of wheat. So, as human beings, if we have anything that needs fixing, you can be assured that it's connected to wheat, which, so you make our lakshin kegel. But I think that the modern rabbis were understanding that there was something that was still to come that was going to need fixing that hadn't even been examined. And that was the kartoffel, that was America, right? That there was a whole new level of fixing that's going to be needing to be fixed. Maybe another time we could go into it. So let's say the Rebbe has eaten and has been mala all the nitzotzes, all the sparks of holiness that exist in all the people who had anything to do with this food. It's all been raised to the place where it needs to go. So now this food is what? It's shirayim. It's leftovers, in the sense that there's nothing that needs to be done. There's no purpose that needs to be fulfilled. There's nothing that needs to be fixed. Because the Rebbe's eaten as much as he needs from this food, right? So this food now has this element of purity, but it also has a level of unnecessity, right? It's like, I don't need to eat it because I'm hungry. I have an opportunity now to take something into my mouth that is, in a sense, completely balanced with the universe. It's at rest. And It contains within it, what is it? It's like it's spiritually neutral, right? And so much of what I eat is not spiritually neutral, it's spiritually negative, right? How many times do I get to eat food that has been, you know, detoxified? Right? So the Hasidim have a minhag that whenever they're with the Rebbe and the Rebbe's eating, so they eat the shirayim. So now comes Rebbe Rebunim and says, Vayivoser Yaakov levadoi. Yaakov is left alone. Bechinas shirayim. Yaakov experiences himself as shirayim. Yaakov experiences himself as a substance that has been, well, I guess, detoxified, but also that is left over, that his father and his grandfather and his mother and his grandmother, they did all the spiritual work that needed to be done, and out he pops, right? So Yaakov didn't think of himself as being a spiritual worker, right? He didn't see himself as being a gros tzaddik, right? He saw himself as what was left over after the tzaddikim had done their work. Whoa, you start to think about the implications of such an insight into the self, right? No wonder the Ishbitzi says, that Yaakov can't think of anything about himself that is superior even to a behemah. Because a behemah, vinisht vi, has all these holy sparks that need to be raised. Right? Yaakov says, I don't have any holy sparks. It's like my Zayda raised them all. My father, he raised them. My mother, well, avoided, she did, to raise everything that was holy in me that needed to be fixed and so on. It's like, what am I? I am gram neutral. And then, through doing his boydidus, by Yaakov understanding and meditating on the nature of being, and Yaakov didn't think of himself as a human doing, right? He's a human being. That his muhus is to be. And that he's not gifted in any way. He is a gift. But then, so is everything in the universe a gift. That his boididus, that meditation, was what brought him face to face in a fight with this malach. Vayeovek ish imoy. The fight that Yaakov has with this angel is a result of his reaching that spiritual state of, I don't know whether there's a word for it, I'm sure it sounds like the Buddhists would have some kind of a word for this insight that the Rebbe Rabbunim is talking about. Nothing special. Nothing special. When he really reached that level of being nothing special, he found himself under attack from a malach whose being is that of nothing special. Because there's a malach of nothing special. I mean, what is a malach, right? A malach is something that, you know, God has a job needs doing, so yalla, the hosta. Can you say that the law of gravity, you know, the inverse square law that mass will attract mass, you know, inverse square to the distance between them and so on, you know, can you say that this is a more important law or has more weight or gravitas, has more, you know, is more necessary than the theoretical limits of the speed of light or the fact that, you know, pi is a particular, I mean, these are, do they have a spiritual value? They don't. I mean, they're it's a law of nature. Was it a tien, you know? It's bechina shirayim, right? It is what it is. You're going to learn some deep thing. It's a malach. Meaning, it's a messenger. The law of gravity, like things, you drop something, it falls to the ground. It's not a good idea. It's the law. It falls to the ground. That's it. So what you going to do, right? That's a malach. And Yaakov Avinu had reached that stage where he thought of himself in a particular kind of way that provoked the malach, who says, no, that's not human. You know, where's your ego? Like, what, you know, get back to humanity. You're not allowed to reach such a madrega of purity, of purpose, or whatever. So that's where the Ishbitzer learns, I'm sure, when we were learning many times, the Ishbitzer says about Yaakov that he never considered himself better than any creature in the universe, however lowly. I'm sure that this is the Shoresh here in the Rebbe Rabbunim. So let's come back a little bit to the Degel Machne Ephraim. You know, I saw something interesting. Actually, I saw it interesting. It was actually in the Neumel Lemelech. Not sure why it's coming up. I'll say it over, that the Divrei Chaim, the Sanzerov, Chaim Sanzer, Chaim Halberstam, he used to explain, and it would come Chodesh Elul, he would say, how's it possible a Yid does an Aveira? Can't be. Yidden zijn een heilig, ja? Yisro kedoshim hem, a Yid does an aver. It's impossible for Yid to do an aver. So the only way it could be that a Yid does an aver is if aveira gereres aveira, that before this aveira, before this sin, there was something that was almost a sin. And a person did that and then didn't catch himself, and as a result, you know, one thing leads to another. He says, but you know something, even a not sin, how could it be a Yid does something wrong? A Yid can't do anything wrong. It must be something earlier that was maybe, you know, not 100% right. And it's something that you could overlook. But this one thing led to another thing, and so on. And before you know it, it's like a person's like in one of those glue traps that the mice we put down for rodents. Once you're stuck, then you try and get yourself out. It's like you get even more stuck, and so on. And he said there were famous stories told about Rebbe Elimelech of Lizhensk, how Rebbe Elimelech of Lizhensk used to punish himself for things that he'd done unknowingly, unwittingly. Like the Koshnitz Magid used to say, when I met my Rebbe, the Rebbe Elimelech, he was already on a high madrega, and he used to punish himself for things that didn't make sense. Why punish yourself? Like once he was watching his daughter nursing her baby, and he saw the baby was like, you know, it was at nursing at the breast, and he was, with his hand, he was slapping the breast of its mother. So Rebbe Elimelech said, well, what is this? And they said, well, that's what babies do, you know. It's just a reflex. And it says, the story is that he put his hand in the fire, because the Divrei Chaim says, because Rebbe Elimelech then understood, now I understand how I came to do so many averes. Like, because I started so young, you know. I started with things that somehow I have to explain how I ended up doing terrible things when I started off so holy. So it means I must have started off with a little avera and that became something else. So that must be the first one that I ever did, that avera. I hit my mother. Right? Even though I was like 3 months old and I didn't understand, but that would explain, Rebbe Elimelech says, how one thing leads to another, and how, if we're talking about trying to be holy, like how far we have to go before we've really traced everything back to its source. And if we're trying to understand who we are, we're going to have to go back to the source and understand how we became who we are. So the Degen Machne Ephraim says like this. What is it a person supposed to do? Vayishlach Yaakov Malochem. Yaakov sends these angels to his brother Esav. The word Esav represents doing. Esav was a man of action. So you have to send your angels into the world of action. Because your neshama, the purpose or the mechanics of your soul, is that it has the ability to connect heaven and earth. And in that connection that is made between heaven and earth, then everything gets fixed. How do you connect heaven and earth? How do you connect everything with its root? And this brings us back to who Yaakov Avinu is. We said that he sees himself, Bechinas Shiraim, that he sees himself as neutral, as not requiring, not having anything special, not being anything special, not needing anything special. So Rebbe Ephraim says like this. We know, the reason that this Torah caught my eye is because I had no idea that the Degen Machne Ephraim was so familiar with philosophical terms. In the Rambam, in the Moira Nevuchim, in the Guide for the Perplexed, he talks a lot about this idea of maskil, muskil, and seichel. That there is the understanding, the person who is understanding something. There is the muskel, there's the thing that is being understood. And then there's the seichel. There is understanding itself. And the Rambam talks about the oneness of God, that in a human being, there's me, there's my seichel, there's my understanding. So I'm the person who understands. And then there's the seichel that I have, my understanding. And then there's the muskel, there's the thing that I understand, right? You know, the Rambam in Moira Nevuchim, in the Guide for the Perplexed, he talks a lot about that in God, these three things are one. And people were arguing with him, you know, it's like, what are you saying? That whiteness and the whitened substance and the whitened object are all one. How can that be? You know, there's the object, and then there's the whiteness that's on the object, and then there's the concept of, these can't all be the same thing, but what are you saying? That in God, seichel, muskel, and maskel are all one. The Rambam spends a lot of time arguing that this is so, and that's why God's knowledge is not the same as our knowledge, because for us, knowledge is something that's out there, and I have the ability to learn something. So once I learn something, then I acquire it, and then, you know, but with God, these are all one. The Degen Machne Ephraim takes this concept of maskil, muskil, and seichel, of the person who understands, the thing that is understood, and understanding, and seichel, and he looks at it from a Kabbalistic point of view. And he says like this, seichel, what is seichel? Seichel is the Shoirish Elikus. It is the divine source, which is the Chochmah HaElyono. We've talked before about the idea of Chochma Elyoina, that there is that thing we call Chochma, you know, wisdom, cleverness, or whatever, but that it's just a very pale reflection of Chochma Elyoina, the supernal Chochma. Supernal Chochma is Yesh Me'ayin. It is that which comes into being from that which is not. So, we don't think of Chochma as being something physical, right? We don't think of it as being anything but an intellectual thing. But in Kabbalah, Chochma Elyoina is that which has come into being from nothing. And that is the source of the Torah. We've talked before how the greatness of Esav, why Esav is such a formidable foe, is because he's connected to Chochma Elyoina, which is the source of the Torah. The Gemara says that the Torah is an unripe version, like a 60th of this Chochma Elyoina, that is some supernal wisdom. Right? In fact, there's the question is, we know in last week's Sedra, or the previous week's Sedra, that Tzayid Befiv, that Esav used to trick his father into thinking he's a very holy man. He would say to him, Eich ma'asrin nesamelach, Eich ma'asrin nesateven, how do we take tithes from straw and from salt and so on? There's a Medrash. The Medrash says that when his father would ask Esav, Nu, what did you learn in Cheder today? He would start at Oskepakt, he would start to unpack all the things that he'd learned, but he was never in Cheder, right? He was never learning anything. Yaakov used to struggle. Yaakov would sit in the tent learning, and Esav would just spout this stuff, right? Ah, this is what they were learning in the Beis HaMedrash today. because Esav was connected to Chachmei Elyona, right? Esav was connected at the source of Chachma, and so he had access. He had access to stuff that Yaakov didn't even have access to. There's a Yalkut Shimoini, a Medrash in Sefer Ovadia. It says that in the future, when God is judging the world, Esav is going to come and sit down next to Yaakov, wrapped in a talis, right? Going to show how holy he is. Nobody's going to be able to say anything to him, because whatever you say, he'll be a bigger Talmud Chacham. He'll know more. He'll be holier. He's going to be wrapped in a talis. And God will throw him out. So Rebbe Ephraim says, Seichel. How do you translate even Seichel? Let's just assume that you and I, we have some understanding. We know what it means. Seichel. Hu shoyrish elikus shu chachme elyoin. Understanding or intellectual ability that we have is a focus of the chachme elyoina, the supernal wisdom that exists, yesh me'ayin, something from nothing. So, when he says, when a person puts his seichel into something he does, if you put your seichel into something you're doing, then you're putting the divine into that thing. And by putting the divine into something, you raise that thing to its source. So, let's say you're eating, right? If you put your seichel into the eating, that is how you raise the spark of everything holy that's in that food. How do you put your seichel into the eating? Well, you have to be aware, first of all, of how it tastes. If you're chewing something, you have to be able to hear yourself chewing it, right? You have to, the experience of what you're doing, you have to be there. Not you're eating and listening to music, or you're eating and chatting or something, whatever, eating and reading. And so often when we're eating, we're not even eating. And everything that we do, it's possible to, at the moment that we do it, to put our seichel into what we're doing. If you put your seichel into what you're doing, your seichel is connected to Chochme Elyoina. Chochme Elyoina, the supernal wisdom, is Yesh Me'ayin, something that's coming from Ayin. You can connect what you're doing to that very beginning of everything, which is where everything has its source, its root. So the Degel Machne Ephraim goes on to explain, this is, we learn in the Gemara, a story in Tanis about Nochem Ishganzu. He was the Rebbe of Rebbe Kiva. And one of the things he used to do is everything that happened to me would say, Gamzu L'toive, right? What does it mean? Everything that happened to him, he would experience it. And he would bring to it his seichel ha'elin. He would bring to it his seichel. Now, where is Chochmah on the tree of the Sephiroth? It's on the right-hand side. It's on the top of the right-hand column. Chochmah is the shoyrish of Chesed. Chesed comes from this Sephiroth of Chochmah. So when anything happened to Nochem, for instance, the Gemara tells a story that he was sent on a mission to Rome to basically bribe the emperor. So he was given a box full of jewels. And this was a gift from the Jewish people to the emperor, or whoever. So on the way, he stayed at a pundak. He stayed in a caravanserai, in an inn. And the innkeeper got to realize there's a box full of jewels here. So he stole the jewels and he filled the box with earth. When Nochem saw, he didn't know. He said, "Gamze l'toyv, it's all for the best," right? And the Gemara says, Elianovi said to him, maybe this is the earth of Avraham Avinu, because there's a medrash that when Avraham was fighting the kings, when he was fighting the four kings from Babylon, and he was retrieving his nephew Lot from captivity, he threw earth at them, and the earth turned into soldiers. And so Elianovi says to him, "Oh, maybe this is that earth, you know, from Avraham Avinu." So he comes, this is what Elianovi says to, I think, the Roman. He arrives in Rome and he hands the gift from the Jewish people, a box full of earth, and they're very angry and they want to kill him. And then somebody says, "Yeah, maybe this is the earth from Avraham Avinu." And so they use it in the next war. And they throw the earth at the enemy and it turns into these soldiers who rout the enemy. Shani gets back. The innkeeper takes a whole cart full of earth to Rome and ends up being put to death. So the Degen Machne Ephraim explains what's happening. When they stole these precious stones and they put the earth there, he says, "Gamzu l'toyve." Why? Gamzu l'toyve doesn't mean it's all for the best. Toyve is chesed, right? He says there's chesed here. What does it mean, there's chesed here? He runs his fingers in, you know, it's not precious stones, not jewels, it's earth, right? But you know something? The experience of feeling the earth is also an experience, right? You could put your seichel into this experience that you're having, right? Earth is connected to the seichel alien, just like everything else in the world is. There's no difference. Even the most base thing, or the most simple thing, or whatever in the world, it's just as connected to Yesh Me'ayin as everything else. You know, the words of the Torah, the words of a song, the music, the sound, the sky, whatever it is, doesn't matter. It's all Yesh Me'ayin. So Nochem is Gamzu, when he says Gamzu L'toyve, he says there's a chesed in this. I don't know what it is, but there's a chesed in this. It comes from the same Chochmah as everything else. And in doing so, in experiencing, you know, in running his fingers through the soil and saying Gamzu L'toyve, he connects this earth with its source in the Olam Elyon, in the Seichel Elyon, you know. So this is the meaning of the greatness of Nochem Ish Gamzu, that he experiences everything that's happening to him with his Seichel. And that's Mamtik the Dinim. By just making these connections, he's connecting everything with everything, right? And if you connect everything with everything, there's no badness there. There's no Dinim there. There's no withholding there. It is coming down into the world, Yesh Me'ayin, through the right side of the tree, through the Chochmah. So by putting his Seichel like a lens, then he's connecting his seichel, which is connected to the seichel alien, to the thing that is being. So Mamela, whose middah is he using? It's the middah of Avraham Avinu, who is chesed, right? So he brings out the chesed, and that's why Elianovi says to the Kaizim, you know, maybe he didn't bring you just a thing of earth. Maybe he's bringing you Me'afre de Avraham, because now that Nochem has experienced it, it's got the chesed of Avraham in it. So the Degel Machaneh Ephraim says this is the meaning of when we talk about Yaakov, Vayifka Boy Malach Elokim, that when Yaakov has reached this level of Boy, which is the base of Avram and Yitzchak in his own Vav, in his own connecting to everything, that's when everybody he meets is a Malach Elokim. He's no longer in just one world, but he's everything that he looks at is connected to the Olam HaElyon through the Seichel of Yaakov. And in fact, the Degel Machaneh Ephraim says, when Rashi says, "Vayishlach Yaakov Malochim," Yaakov sends these angels Malochim Mamish. He says the word Mamish is Mem Mem Shin, which is Maskil, Muskil, and Seichel. That's really Yaakov's secret. That Yaakov has reached that level of Maskil, Muskil, and Seichel, of the one who understands the thing that is being understood, and the Seichel understanding itself. And as we were saying before, you can't really define what understanding is, but you know it when you feel it, right? So this Mem Mem Shin is the Mamish. And this is Vayishlach Yaakov Malochim Lefanav. It didn't matter who Yaakov would be sending. He would be sending Malochim. And then the Degel Machaneh Ephraim goes on to explain what is El Esav Ochiv, meaning Esav is the Olam Asiyah, is the world of action. Artzuseis, De Edoim, these are the different worlds, the world above, the world below, and so on. Maybe in the future we'll have an opportunity to go and learn the rest of the Torah in depth. But you know, all these Torahs are connected in the same way. To see yourself as Shiraim, right? What does it mean to see yourself as Shiraim? To experience yourself as not bad, right? Not good, right? Just to experience yourself as product of the people who have been working so hard in the spiritual world to connect everything. Like Yaakov experiences himself as the product of his ancestors and his mother and father, and he himself is Shiraim, which means that he's just grace. That his purpose is just to be. He doesn't have to do anything, just has to be. And in reaching that stage of just being able to just be, Yaakov, in a sense, is the Mufcha Sheba'ovos. He achieves what none of his ancestors could achieve, right? It's really, he was.